Welcome to the Victory Church Podcast. We're honored and excited to share the next few minutes with you. We believe living for Jesus is about so much more than getting ready for the last day of your life, but it's about making the most of every day of your life. So get ready and let's dive into today's message.
If you've got a Bible today, let's go in it to Ephesians chapter 6. This has been our bedrock text during the series. I also just want to remind everybody that every single week, the CDs are available from the previous messages. They're out there in the lobby on the kiosk. They're always free. And in most churches, they charge for those. From day one, we have never, ever charged because I knew if we put 50 cents or a dollar on them, it would cut in half the number that go out the doors. And as a result, you guys have been missionaries that have taken them out, shared them with friends, shared them with family. I have people come to me regularly that say, I can't go to church, but I always stop by the Dandy in Towanda, or they name other places and they say, I pick up a CD. Thank you for doing them. Please keep putting the CDs out. And as a result, y'all have put over 100,000 of those CDs in other people's hands. That is the life-giving word of God. So please continue to take them and use them. I just want to brag on God with our app, the Victory Now app. Some of you are using it right now to look up the scriptures, but that app, we have over 5,000 downloads in the little town of Troy, Pennsylvania. People are hungry for God's word, and they're hearing what he's doing here, and they want to receive what God has for them in their life. Are y'all thankful for that today? Come on, we cannot act like this is normal. This ain't church as usual or business as usual. We're believing God for big things. So last Sunday was super powerful, especially if you know somebody who's wrestling with their worthiness and their confidence. Make sure you pick up one of those messages and take it to a friend. Take it and share it with some others. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Here we go. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your might, his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, you're not fighting with your crazy sister-in-law. You're not fighting with your nut job neighbor. You're not fighting with that employee at work that is driving you nuts. I know your kids might be driving you crazy, but it's not even your kids you're fighting with. The Bible tells us who we are fighting with. We're not fighting with people, but we are fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so what you got to realize today, Cody, is that when we're dealing with a difficult situation that somebody else is giving us, we're dealing with that the demonic spirit at work behind the scenes pulling the strings in their life. And at some point, all of us let the devil get to us, and we say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We cop an attitude that we shouldn't have got. Hello, somebody. Are there any real folk in the house today? Even Peter messed up, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to the spirit at work behind the voice of Peter that day. Verse 13 says again, take up the whole armor of God. I want you to look at your neighbor, everybody participating, and say, put it all on. Put it all on. Oh, great, he's back. Hey, officer, come up here. What you got there? Come on up here. Are you proud of it? You seem pretty excited about that sword. Hey, y'all give it up for officer exposure today. Hold that thing up. Man, he's proud of his sword.
Look at my sword.
He wants you to see his sword. The problem is there's about five other pieces of armor. Where's the rest of your armor? Okay. One more time, y'all let Officer Exposure know how much you appreciate him. You say, Josh, why are you doing that? Why is this crazy man come in here waving a sword around? Y'all don't understand the lengths we have to go to with our security team to let him know that's going to happen. I'm like, guys, do not shoot him. It's like, if there's a second guy that comes in with a sword, though, lay him down. But seriously, I brought him in to show you something because the Bible says put on the whole armor. Everybody say the whole armor. Come on, look at your other neighbor you rejected a second ago and tell him, put it all on. Now tell them, no, seriously. The Bible is serious about this. You got to put it all on. If you don't have it all on, it doesn't do you any good. And a lot of times when you go to a church, that you only ever hear them talk about one thing. And I'm not talking about the churches negatively, but I'm just saying the Bible says you got to put it all on. And at Victory Church, we're going to present the Word of God cover to cover. We're going to cover it all. We don't have the liberty to focus and park on one thing forever. Amen. And so we want to be well-rounded believers. We want to be believers who are proficient in every area of God's weapon. And the Bible says you got to put it on. Here's why: that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So there's coming a day the devil's going to knock at the door of your life, and you got to be able to stand up on that day. And what we're presenting to you in this series is things you can use every single day to keep the enemy at bay and to make sure you impose the victory Jesus already won for you. The Bible says, having done all to stand. Somebody say stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We talked about that on week one. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about that body armor last week, and the SWAT guys were here again to help us. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we're talking about under armor because, as Marcia said earlier, God has given us spiritual weapons to win a spiritual battle. And the spiritual weapons that we have are unseen. They're in our lives, but we wear them in our spirit. There are three parts to who you are: spirit, soul, and body. We get so used to the body, and we spend so much time painting and prepping and puffing up and picking up the body, depending on how old you are, so gravity starts taking its hold. But anyway, we spend so much time taking care of this outward shell that's going to die, right? And we get used to that outward shell. But the reality is the spirit man on the inside of you lives forever. And that's what wears this armor that God gives us. And armor is a protective covering that soldiers use during a battle that increases their ability to accomplish a mission and survive so they can return home safely. Another thing armor does is it increases my capability, but also my confidence. When I feel like I'm bulletproof, you're more likely to act like Superman. And so it increases my capability and my confidence. But I want to go back to Ephesians 6:16 because this is the piece of armor we're going to talk about today. He says, above all, somebody say above all. Above all, taking the shield of what? The shield of faith. Today we're going to talk about that shield that a Roman soldier would have carried. It is a shield of faith, Paul says, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now remember that the apostle Paul is under arrest, and he is constantly seeing Roman soldiers around him. They were the most mechanized group in the world. They were the most sophisticated and advanced military in the entire world. But I've taken those things in the first century, and we've brought them up over the last 3 weeks to 21st century modern warfare. And that's why today I have a tactical shield in front of the pulpit to show you what today's shield would have looked like. It can protect from a lot more. But this is our third weapon, the shield of faith. And faith is believing in God. It's really that simple. You say, well, what is faith? Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. What is faith? Very good. Y'all catch on quick. It's believing in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder, Cassie, of those who diligently seek after him. God honors faith. God's not a respecter of people, but he is a respecter of faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is what causes God to pass over everybody else with their needs so that he can come and meet your needs. Faith sets you apart. Faith is a difference maker. Jesus said in Mark 11:22-24, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. How many of you have faith in God today? He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and he does not doubt in his heart, but he believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. A mountain represents an obstacle that stands in your way, a blockage that stands in your way. Jesus said, when you have faith in God, you don't talk to God about the problem alone. You talk to the problem about the size of your God. And when that happens, your obstacle has to move. He goes on and says, therefore, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We don't see it to believe it as a Christian. I believe it and then I see it. And so this is a shield of faith in our life. And so I want to give you some revelation from this. Faith is one of the number one things I preached on over the last 15 years. And I love talking about faith because it's why we are where we are today. And it's how you can see the hand of God move in your life. The same thing as God's done in this house, he wants to do in your house. And he will use your faith. You don't need borrowed faith. He's given you what you need. But I want to show you some revelation from this Roman shield that would be used, because the Holy Spirit clearly wanted us to understand this. And the first revelation I want to give you today is that there were two types of shields that every Roman soldier carried. The first type of shield was a shield for show. Somebody say for show. It was a small round shield about the size of a pizza pan, and it was very decorative, it was very ornate, it was very beautiful, and it would clip on their belt. And they would wear that, and it was to show as a symbol of victories they had won. They would wear it in parades, they would wear it in public events. But this is not the shield that the Apostle Paul writes to us about, because there are two separate words in the Greek. I'm not going to bore you with them, but the New Testament was written in Greek, and there are two specific words in the Greek for the two types of shield. The second type of shield was the shield for go. Somebody say go. So you got a shield for show and a shield for go. And this shield was about 2.5 feet by about 4.5 feet, 4 feet. And it covered the majority of the front of that Roman soldier's body. It was very large. It was as wide as a door. And it would completely cover him from the front side as he was pressing into battle. And that's the one the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit is telling us that God has given to every single believer. Are there any believers here today? God has given to every believer a shield that covers you, a large shield of faith. And here's the revelation that we receive in that, that the measure of faith God has given you is big enough to cover your life. Here's what you need to know, because here's what I hear people say, well, if I just had more faith, then God, well, how much faith do you need? Jesus said it like this. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, for assuredly I say to you, if you, somebody say that's me, if you have faith as a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Now, Calvin Bristol is a great excavator. He does a fantastic job. He just installed that pad over there where our storage building is going to be going. Y'all put your hands together for Calvin today. But I'm going to tell you right now, you got some fancy equipment that's really nice and uses GPS on those dozers. But I'm telling you right now, faith can do more than those dozers can. Amen. It can move more obstacles in your life. It can shape things. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, God's dealt to each one a measure of faith. He's given every single one of us a measure, Tracy, of faith. If I know anything about God, y'all, here's what I know, Wendy. He's a more than enough God. When he sent the fish to Peter on that day when they were catching them, he sent so many fish that it started sinking the boats and busting the nets. We got a net busting, boat sinking God, y'all. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And so if God gave you a measure of faith, then he gave you more than enough faith to get you started and meet the needs in your life. You don't need more faith. You need to use what you got. Amen? Amen? Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him to use it. All right, let's go. Revelation number two. The Roman shield, I love this. Mike, I love this. It was built layer by layer, one layer at a time, like plywood is made. The same way they make plywood, one layer by layer, and they press them together and they laminate them. That's the way this shield was made. There were two layers of wood that were laid, Chris Thorne, in opposite directions for strength and then laminated together. And then they would take six animal skins. How many animal skins? They would take six of them and they would wind it around it layer by layer by layer until that thing was as hard as concrete. And here's the revelation for you today, that your faith is built one layer at a time. It's built layer by layer by layer. Now, last week, Miss Carol, we talked about righteousness. And when you believe in Jesus, God makes you as righteous as you're ever going to be. There are not levels of righteousness, but there are levels of faith. And so you got to build your faith. God gives you enough faith to get you started and get you going. But then he expects you to build that faith up. And so we build our faith layer by layer. And here's what those layers are for us. Just like they had two ingredients in theirs, wood and skins, we have two ingredients in ours. We begin with what the Word of God says. And as we believe what God's word says, then we begin to experience it in our life. And it becomes one victory after another. That's why the Bible says he leads us from glory to glory, from height to height, from one victory to the next victory in our life. How many of y'all have seen some victory since coming to Victory Church? And you've seen God move in your life because you believe his word. So here's the deal, y'all. Miss Kim, you experience God as you begin believing and acting on and speaking the word of God in your life. Just like David said before he fought Goliath. He said in 1 Samuel 17:35, he said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." See, his faith was built layer by layer by layer. He had already, through the power of God, defeated a lion with his bare hands that had come against him when he was guarding daddy's sheep. And then he defended him from a bear with his bare hands, no pun intended. But the reality is, had he not gone through those two things and had those two victories and seen God show up Rachel in his past, he may not have had the same level of confidence when it came to facing Goliath. Somebody here is going through a battle today and you don't understand why you're facing what you're facing and you don't like what you're going through. But can I tell you, you're facing a lion and you're going to stare down the bear because God is forging you and framing you. There is a giant in your future and other people are counting on you to lay that giant down so that they can rise up and become the men and women of God that he created them to be. Maybe it's an addiction in somebody in your family. Maybe it's some other struggle with some other sin. Maybe it's a financial or a relational issue. But I come to tell you right now, God is able and he is bigger, and you keep speaking to your mountain and you command it to move in the name of Jesus. I have faith and I raise up my shield and I defeat the enemy. See, your life will rise to the level of your faith in who God is. David stepped up and he stepped out when nobody else did. He was fearless because he believed his God was greater. If you have little faith, you have a little God. If you have a little God, then you do little things. But not here. At Victory Church, we got big faith. Because we believe in a big God. And that's why we're doing big things for Jesus. Come on, somebody. How big is your God? How big is his love? How big is his grace? How big is his provision? How big is his protection? How big is his vision in your life? How big is his... How big do you want God to be? Come on, somebody. He's omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient. He's the God of the universe. And he's living on the inside of you. I wish somebody would get a hold of that today. And understand, you don't ever have to feel little again. In the name of Jesus, I don't care what mountain you stand next to, God is bigger than your mountain. How big is your faith? Revelation number 3, here we go. I'm not going to keep saying I love this because I love every part of it. I get more. When the preacher's having more fun than the people were in trouble. Y'all have fun coming here? Okay. Revelation number 3 is maintaining your shield. This is so fascinating to me. Every morning that Roman soldier had to care for his shield. If he neglected the shield would dry out. If it dried out, then it would become brittle. If it was struck, it would be easily cracked. And it also became vulnerable to catching fire. The maintenance regimen was daily, and it was a two-step process. Step one was that the soldier would take a vial of oil that he would carry with him. And he would take that oil and he would rub that oil into the shield every day. He would pour it onto a cloth and he would take his hand and he would literally anoint that shield and he would rub it in until that oil penetrated every part of the shield and kept it pliable and supple and kept that skin, you know, hydrated so that it could do the job that it was there to do. He would literally anoint the shield. Now, y'all know from our essential oil series that oil in the Bible represents what? Oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. Well, God has given you a shield made of faith. And oil represents the Holy Spirit. And the revelation here is that your faith must be anointed with the fresh oil of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit every single day. Every single day. I'm going to give y'all a reality check. Yesterday's touch is not enough. Yesterday's anointing is not enough. See, what happens is we have big moments with God sometimes, and then we fly high on it, and then we let our relationship with him get laxed, and then we go, God, where are you? Why am I dry? Why am I going through this season? And the reality is every single day I have to ask for that anointing of the Holy Spirit on my life. Yesterday is not enough. I might have been anointed yesterday, but my faith needs a fresh anointing today. I face new fiery darts today. New level, new devil. There are bigger enemies that I face today. I need the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit in my life today. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I am completely dependent on God for everything I do. I could not stand up here and say boo to y'all if it was not for his hand anointing my life. I'm going to y'all know, if you carry on a conversation with me, it's hard for me to get it out. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's hand is on our lives. Amen? God's hand is on your life. God is anointing your faith with the oil of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he didn't call you to a dead, dry, boring, brittle worship. He didn't call. Sometimes I wonder during worship, how many true worshipers are in the house? I wonder sometimes, is God pleased with what we're offering? I wonder sometimes, if everybody worshiped like you did, what would worship look like? Come on, somebody. God wants Holy Spirit anointed worship. And as we press into him, his power falls on us. He didn't call you to have a dead, dry, boring, brittle faith in him. He didn't call you to have a dead and dry marriage. He didn't call you to have a dead and dry atmosphere in your home. He didn't call you to have a dead and dry career path. He didn't call Victory Church to be a dead, dry, boring, brittle church. Oh, God, lay your hand on us fresh and new today and rub in the oil of the Holy Spirit's presence. We need your power in our life. We can't be who you created to be without you, God. We need you today. We're desperate for you, God. And cry out for an anointing in our lives. Every single day, I'm completely dependent. See, when we say somebody's anointed, what that means is God's hands on them. When we say somebody's anointed, we say the power of the Holy Spirit is energizing them. And when the anointing comes on us, it helps me to be who God created me to be. And it helps you to be who God created you to be. And it helps all of us to do what God created all of us to do. And that's to reach our region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I love what Francis of Assisi said. He said, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. The greatest way you preach the gospel is in the way you live your life. People are watching you. I need an anointing because my kids are watching me. I need an anointing because my wife is watching me. I need an anointing because my neighbor's watching me. I need an anointing because you're watching me. I do stupid stuff on my own, but God saved me from me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be a reflection of Jesus. Yesterday's not enough. The anointing of the Holy Spirit enables us to live extraordinary lives for the glory of God. I love what David said in Psalm 92:10. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Come on, somebody say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil today in Jesus' name. So that was step one of this process of shield maintenance. Step two is that before the Roman soldier went out to war, he would take his shield jaw and he would soak it in water until it was completely saturated. So not only was the oil on it, but now it was saturated with water. Water in the Bible represents the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26. That he or Jesus might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water. The washing of water by the what? By the what? Thanks all 30 of you. By what? By the word of God. The number one way we get to know God is through his word. I know that you want to get to know God by going in the woods. I know you want to get to know God by sitting on a sofa with Oprah. Right? I know you want to get to know God on Facebook and what all your friends say. The number one way you get to know God is by getting into his word. That's why every week we come together, we're digging out what his word says. God gave us his word so we could know him better. Everything I believe for building my shield about God must come from that book. I cannot know God by my feelings. Your feelings are poor leaders, Tyrone. They lie to you. They change all the time. That's why you're like this every day. One day, when you're up, you're up. When you're down. And when you're only halfway up, you're neither up or down. Right? That's the way. Seriously. I'm that way a lot of the time. I'll be honest with you. I ain't going to talk about other Christians. How about this Christian? See, that's the fun thing about church. Everybody's like, yeah, amen, yes. You talking about my neighbor? No, I'm talking to you. Somebody said that the other day. They said, you know, if you tell them, do you think they're going to get it? I said to them, no, they ain't going to understand. They're going to think you're talking about somebody else. It's like people that tell you, if I ever act crazy, tell me. No, when you're crazy, you don't know it. All men don't nod. People who know the word are people who know God. And people who know God, Daniel 11:32 said, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. See, where there is no word, there is no faith. Let me say that again. Where there is no word, there is no faith. Here's why. Because faith begins with a revelation of who God is and a knowledge of his will. And I find that in his word. Your ability to defeat the enemy is determined by the presence or absence of his word in your life. So my question for you today is, does the word of God have a prominent place in your schedule every day? Are you spending time in the word every day? If you're not, it's so easy, y'all. Download the Victory Now app. There's a Bible reading plan that will take you through the entire Bible this year. I've been on it every single day. I'm behind right now because we had a little glitch yesterday and I got a couple days to catch up on. But you can listen to it regularly, or you can read it, or you can read it while it's reading it to you, which I'd recommend the most. Or even better than the Victory Now app, we're so busy, but the best thing you can do is pick up an actual Bible and read the pages. Amen? God gave us a book. You know, out of all six spiritual weapons, this is the only one he gave us you can touch. This is the most anointed thing you're ever going to handle. Get into it every single day. Every single day. Spend time in his word. Every single day. You say, well, Josh, I do all my reading for the week in one day. Now, is that the way you eat? Yeah, I ate Sunday. I'm good till next Sunday. No, Jeff, it don't work that way. And then make sure you have time in your schedule every single week for God's word. Come to church matters. Statistics say now that even faithful Christians only come to church 1 in 4 Sundays a month. That's terrible. Come on, going to church doesn't make you automatically go to heaven, but I'll tell you what, it sure increases your odds. Hello, somebody? And it's important that we spend time gathering together with other believers in the house of God because there's a revelation there. Revelation number 4 about the shield is that the soldier would lead with the shield. The shield was out front. The shield was the first thing that they would come into contact with. And what that says to us today, y'all, is that we've got to lead with our faith. Our faith, Brother David, should be out front. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the first thing. Faith comes first. It's always faith first. Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask, Blair, believe that you receive them and then you'll have them. I believe it and then I receive it. I see that thing that I've believed God for in my life. I love that. Faith, the definition of faith, is the Greek word pistis, and it means a force that is forward directed. It's never passive. It never reaches backward. It's aggressive. It goes after it. So when we have a shield of faith, we are leading with that faith, and it's out front. Amen? And so you got to get your faith out front. Some of y'all have set the shield of faith down. It's time for you today. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, pick that back up. I know you might have had some failed expectations, but pick that shield back up, Matthew, and start leading with it again and leading with your faith life and leading with believing God to do greater things in your life and to see him move, even if you haven't in the past. I cannot know God by my feelings, and I cannot know God by what I've experienced. All I can know him by is what his word says, and if I'll stand on the word long enough, what I experience will line up with what he's written in his word. Thank you for that one person. Y'all come to lunch with me. Come on, somebody give God praise. If we're going to do it, let's do it. All right, number 5 is simply this, the revelation. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:16, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Somebody say fiery darts. Okay. You've got to understand the arrows of the enemy. And this is really simple. There were 3 types of arrows. There are 3 distinct separate words in Greek that were used for the 3 types of arrows that the enemy used during these days. The first type was a regular arrow. And we have a lot of archers here today. And one of the greatest ones is Danielle Oldroyd. Danielle, just wave at everybody. She's the only one I know who could Robin Hood an arrow. But anyway, y'all give it up for Miss Danielle. And so there's 3 types of arrows they used. I just saw Don Henry over here. HTM Sights does a phenomenal job if y'all are looking for new sights on your bow. But anyway, there was a regular arrow, as we would imagine it, with a shaft and then the quills and then the metal tip on the end. The second type of arrow was that same arrow that they would dip in tar. They would light the tip on fire and then they would shoot it. But the third type of arrow was the most fearsome arrow and the most feared arrow. And it was an arrow that had a hollow shaft that would be made of cane. And they would fill it up with a combustible fluid. And then they would light the tip on fire. And then they would shoot it. And when they did, it was like literally like our modern day bombs. Because when it struck its target, it would explode into flames. And that is the specific type of arrow that the Apostle Paul references when he says the fiery darts of the enemy. And so here's the revelation for you. Satan uses fiery darts that when they hit your life, they erupt into flames. You say, well, Josh, what do you mean by that? The fiery darts we're talking about are suggestive thoughts or imaginations or emotions that come over you. How many of you are going through your day, Miss Vicky, and all of a sudden some crazy off-the-wall thought comes out of left field? Just wave at me. Okay, great, I'm not crazy. How many of y'all have ever been going through your day and all of a sudden some overwhelming emotion hammers you? Just wave at me. Okay, y'all, I'm glad I'm not crazy today. We're all going through the same thing. And so the reality is the devil shoots these fiery darts that when they strike your mind, they erupt in flames. Now, and it can be all kind of thoughts. And the devil knows where we're weak. Or there's an emotion that all of a sudden this emotion strikes in our heart. And we've got a choice in that moment. And we can allow it to stay or we can cast it down. And we can say, no, I'm not going to feel that way. And we can put our faith back in God. And so the fiery darts are those suggestive thoughts or mental images, those emotional flares. And the reality is one of those fiery darts can inflame our mind with ungodly imaginations. One of those fiery darts can erupt our emotions with rage and bitterness and anger and jealousy and suspicion, and it will throw you into a fit of carnality. And they are wicked darts because they are sourced from the wicked one. And the word wicked means hurtful. They're evil. They bring calamity. They're diseased. They're vicious. They're malicious. They bring guilt and sorrow and pain and harm us. They are bad for us. And so what Satan does is he shoots these fiery darts into the different arenas of our life. And it might be an arrow of sexual temptation. And all of a sudden that woman walks past you and turns around and says, man, you smell good. Fiery dart. Poof. You erupt in flames in your mind. What are you going to do in that moment? You better have the shield of faith up so you can keep saying, not today, Satan, and keep walking in Walmart to buy your Beanie Weenies. Y'all don't buy Beanie Weenies? Hello, come on, let's keep it real in here today. How about when you're sitting on the computer and all of a sudden that fiery dart, boom. Hey, nobody's around. Why don't you look that up? You've worked hard. You deserve to blow off some steam. It's been a while. Why don't you go ahead and do that? Or how about the fiery darts of you're going to fail that cross your mind? You better raise the shield of faith and say, no, I'm not a failure. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. How about the fiery darts the enemy shoots that erupts us and we melt down into emotional puddle when he tells you you're not enough. You can never do anything. You can never be anything. And you raise the shield of faith and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you're a liar. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, my faith in what that shield does and what His word says puts that dart out every single time. Maybe it's a physical thing you're afraid of, and fear strikes in your heart. You're gonna die young. You say, in the name of Jesus, I have my faith. I raise my shield of faith. The book of Psalms said, with long life He'll satisfy me. I shall live and not die. I shall declare the works of the Lord. I am extinguishing that fiery dart. The devil comes to you and says, I'm gonna kill your kids, and all of a sudden you have this flash of fear that crosses your mind, and you're afraid for your kid's life, and the devil's doing nothing but tormenting you. Or you can raise the shield of faith and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, the word of God says no evil shall come near me. The word of God says no weapon formed against me or my family shall prosper. The word of God says greater is He that's in me and He that's in my kids. The word of God says in Luke 10:19, I've got all authority over you, devil, and you can't do nothing to hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I'm here to hurt you. See, you can control your thoughts. This is what you need to hear. We got a generation of people that are not controlling their minds. You got to control your mind. The devil's going to shoot one dart after another. And I hear well-meaning believers say, oh, God, make it stop. He's not going to make it stop. You know why? Because he wants you to grow strong enough to get your shield up and see that he's given you what you need to overcome the enemy with his help. You can't do it alone, but you're not alone anymore. How about your emotions? You can control your emotions, y'all. You wake up and you feel sad and you just be sad all day. Well, I woke up feeling that way. I want to be true to myself. I want to live my truth. That ain't the truth. That's a lie. David, you know what? When David got up in the morning, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. You know what he was doing? He was talking to himself. People thought he was crazy. Well, I'll tell you what'll make you crazy. Don't control yourself. If you don't control your mind, it'll control you. If you don't control your emotions, it'll control you. You get up in the morning like David said, and you say in the name of Jesus, soul, mind, will, emotions, you're going to bless God today and you're going to like it. You're not in control today. Mind, you're not in control today. Emotions, you're not in control today. Choices, you're not in control today. Jesus is in control. He's on the throne of my heart. Not me, not the world, not the flesh, not the devil. I love Jesus. And so God, here I am at your service. Whatever you want is what I want. I'm going to live your will today. The last thing I want to give you today is this revelation that the shields were made to be connected. Somebody say connected. See, on the side of these shields, there were small hinges, and one by one, they would come together side by side, and they would latch their shield to the man beside them. They were able to fight on their own and win, but there were times when they faced an obstacle that was bigger than they could handle by themselves, and they would come together. Or there was a mission they needed to accomplish that they could not accomplish on their own. And what the revelation is for us today is that some things God has called you to do by yourself, but there are other things you cannot do without the help of other believers. That's why the church is so powerful, because we are here to let you know that your life matters, and we're here to help you make it count. And when we come together, we're able to do great things for God. And so what they would do is one by one, they would come together and they would stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder like this, and they would latch those shields together. And then some of the men behind that front line would raise up their shields and cover the heads of their own head and the man in front of them. And it literally created a tortoise shell. And so I like to call it a human tank. And so what would happen is, as these soldiers marched like this, literally nothing could stop them. If somebody fell in front of them, and this might seem gory to y'all, but I got a point in saying it. If somebody fell in front of them, they were ordered to keep marching in this formation and to not stop. And so if an old lady or a child or a grown man or whoever fell in front of them, they would march right over them and never stop. And you can imagine what that would do to that person as they pummeled them into the ground and literally, you know, obliterated that person into pieces, but they kept marching. And here's the revelation for us, church. God has called us to come together. God has called us to gather and connect and to lock it in so that we can't be blown apart, because there are things that are going to come against you. But when the enemy comes at you, it's not going to be like it used to be. When we come together, we're going to march right over the top of him, and we're not going to stop marching. We're not going to stop stamping. We're not going to stop trodding on him. We're going to pummel him until there's nothing left of him. And you're going to see that together we are stronger than we could ever be apart. Come on, somebody. There's one mission and one vision and one message and one Lord and one faith and one baptism. We are the body of Christ. Be smarter than the devil. Let's come together and let's raise the banner of Jesus Christ. Are y'all getting what I'm telling you? Look around you this morning. Look around you this morning. Come on, stay on your feet. Look around you. I'm serious. Turn around. Look how many people are in this room today. Just two of us can change the world. 12 of us Jesus used. My God, a room full of people at 9 a.m. at Victory Church on Sunday morning. God wants to use you to change the world this week. God wants to use you to change the world this week. Be smarter than Satan. We're here for a purpose. Don't let the devil get you sidetracked. Raise your shield of faith and block every fiery dart of the enemy. And when you feel like you've been battered so long that you can't take another blow, then come lock in and latch with the soldier next to you. And I'm telling you right now, we will pummel the enemy every single time. That's not what Josh Payne said. That's what Jesus Christ said. Can y'all give God a big praise today that the victory is ours and the glory is His?
If you're ever in northeastern Pennsylvania, we'd love to meet you in person. Come experience Victory Live. Victory Church is located at 645 East Main Street in Troy, Pennsylvania. You can choose a service time that's best for your needs. Sunday services are at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Or join us for our midweek service and all children and student ministries every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more info, check us out on the web at voiceofvictory.com or get the Victory Now app for your mobile device. It's free and it's available today in your app store. If you were blessed by today's message, we would absolutely love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 302, Troy, PA 16947. Until next time, remember, there's victory in Jesus.